Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Across North Carolina in recent months, as the COVID-19 pandemic has eased, life in our public schools has, mercifully, begun to return to something akin to normal. Unfortunately, repairing the damage that's been wrought over the last 2 years to educators and students won't be easy. Whether it's attrition in our teaching corps or learning loss among students, our state has lots of vital work to do. And earlier this week, I sat down with one of North Carolina's most important leaders in this field, public school teacher and mom and president of the North Carolina Association of Educators, Tamika Walker Kelly. And as Ms. Walker Kelly told me, for North Carolina to make real and sustained progress in attacking these challenges, it's going to take a renewed commitment from the state legislature to provide truly adequate education funding.
Tamika Walker Kelly, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you for having me.
Gosh, lots to talk about in the world of public education right now. The good news, obviously, the numbers, it seems, are continuing to go in the right direction when it comes to the pandemic. We're so glad that people are able to get back into school now and mask requirements are starting to be less necessary. But obviously, the pandemic wrought a lot of havoc to our schools, on our teacher workforce, on our kids. One thing that's really been standing out to me lately is we've seen these numbers on teacher attrition and just the large number of people who are leaving the profession or maybe not even getting into the profession. Talk to us about what your thoughts are on that and what we need to be doing to address it.
Well, teacher attrition, educator attrition, really, because we are seeing large shortages across fields in education are a deep concern for us as NCAE and myself as a public school parent. Child in the public schools.
Sure.
One of the things that we know is that we started off this school year with about 10,000 openings across the state. We continue to see schools advertise vacancies for positions throughout this school year. And some of that is due large in part to the pandemic.
Sure.
Many of our educators are deciding to resign early and retire early. And our school districts are having problems filling those positions. And so it is one of deep concern. And I do worry that as we get closer to the start of the next school year, we will be in a precarious position when we get ready to start.
It's a remarkable story that in the state of New Mexico, the governor had to actually call out the National Guard just to keep watch on kids because they literally were so depleted when it came to their teacher workforce. We know the pandemic's a big role, but we also know that in North Carolina, we have one of the largest gaps between what people can make in the private sector and what they can make as teachers, right? I mean, it's not just when you compare teacher salaries, it's you look at state to state, but within a state, we have so many enormously talented young people who are educated and they see these opportunities to work in the private workforce. And even if they maybe feel some passion for teaching, when they can make twice as much in the private workforce, that's a hard sell for people who are trying to hire teachers, right?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. So one of the things that's important to note about the educator attrition issue is that not only is it exacerbated by the pandemic, but it is culminating with the long-term underfunding of public schools and how we have continuously underpaid our educators versus their peers in the surrounding states. And so the pipeline for people to become educators, like you said, we have enormously talented young people who have a passion for education. We've seen the enrollment in schools of education at our public and private universities drop. We've seen universities have to cut particular fields of education because those numbers have dropped. So we have a huge pipeline issue that has existed prior to the pandemic where our people are not coming into the profession or they are choosing to leave the state to go somewhere else where they are adequately paid. We are still 10,000 $50,000 under the national average for educator salaries. And that's not even accounting for inflation or any of the things like that. So it is a deep concern that not only are we struggling to retain the highly qualified educators that we have here in North Carolina, but we are also struggling to attract highly qualified educators to our state.
And another huge challenge that's really been highlighted as the pandemic, we hope, continues to ebb is the issue of learning loss. I mean, obviously, teachers have done heroic work, many at great risk to their own health, to teach kids during the pandemic, to many of them to be in school, teaching in person. But there's no getting around the fact that a lot of kids have struggled during the pandemic. A lot of kids have been in a remote situation, or they've been in school situations where it's just not a normal classroom situation. What are your thoughts about this learning loss and how we're going to tackle this and its impacts in the I guess, really years ahead?
Well, first, it's important to note that all of our students across the state, and it's not unique to North Carolina, experienced learning disruption because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And our students continue to learn and grow, especially according to the report that was released, albeit more slowly than they typically would because of variables outside of our control as educators, outside our control as parents and our students. And so for our children, they missed an opportunity for consistent learning because of the pandemic. One of the things that is important for all of us to know is that the academic gaps that we are seeing as a result of the pandemic aren't actually new gaps. They are gaps that have existed prior to the pandemic and ones that our educators and concerned community members and parents have been raising that our students of color, that our students with disabilities, that our students who speak a second, an additional language need additional support. One of the other things that we have also noticed as educators in our classroom is that the pandemic has caused trauma to our students, particularly ones who have lost a family member or a caregiver. And so our students are in much, much need of mental health resources and services that we have to address their mental and social health needs before they can even access the academic part. And so one of the things is really important is that we have lessons to learn from this pandemic, but the problems that we have seen our students bring to us every day in the classroom are ones that we have solutions to solve. Many of them require political will from our legislators and definitely require funding so that we can continue to see our students progress and grow.
Tamika Walker-Kelly is the president of the North Carolina Association of Educators, and she herself is a public school teacher and a mom of public school students. Let's talk about funding, because really that does get down to the crux of it in many, many instances. We have now in North Carolina a court that has found the many ways in which our public education system is deficient, and a judge who has ordered the state to actually start spending the money to bring our public schools up to speed. But the General Assembly is sort of still fighting that at every, or at least I should say the Republican leadership of the General Assembly is fighting that at every opportunity they have and resisting the directives of a state court to actually comply with the state constitution. I take it that's a priority for you and for NCAE to get that Judge Lee's order actually complied with in the Leandro school funding case.
It is absolutely a priority of our organization here at NCAE to ensure that every student, regardless of where they come from, their background, how they identify, how much money their family makes, receives the fully funded, sound, basic, high quality education that is constitutionally mandated for them by the state of North Carolina. And being from one of the counties that was in the original lawsuit, we see the disparities inside of our own school district and across the state and the discrepancies between rural and urban communities, affluent and not affluent communities. And we know that this case, also known as the Leandro case, is supposed to help raise the bar that every student has equal access to those opportunities and those resources that are going to help them grow and thrive. And so it is a question of our legislature to follow the state constitution and to appropriate the funding that is necessary. We've gone 20 plus years without a resolution to this case. And that is a generation of students who have never had access to a fully funded education. And our legislators have done them a disservice by not providing them with the things that they need to be successful. And so it is up to us as educators, as parents, as concerned community members, as people who have connections to public schools in our communities, to hold them accountable to the Constitution of North Carolina.
Seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? You alluded to it previously. There are just dozens of examples within the mandate that the court has laid down that really spell out how you would lift up our schools. You talked about mental health. Well, we know that huge numbers of our schools don't have counselors or adequate number of them. They don't have psychologists. They don't have school nurses. Sort of these basic things that the Leandro mandate would address. And the General Assembly actually, they had the money this year maybe to do this with all the federal relief that had been flowing to the state, but rather remarkably, they chose not to.
It's important to first note that the state of North Carolina is in a healthy fiscal position, sans the federal funds that have come to the state. North Carolina has a rainy day fund that has billions of dollars in it. The state, of course, also had a $1 billion surplus based on economic predictions of how they thought North Carolina was going to fare through the pandemic, but we actually did better than expected. And so we have the money to fully fund the West End Report that outlines not just funding for positions in schools. We're talking about increasing teacher assistance in classrooms, programs for early childhood. We're talking about supplemental programs for after school for our students. When we talk about the Leandro case, it is not just about putting more people in classroom. It is expanding access to a number of resources that our students and families can both access for students to be successful. And so our state funds, plus the recent infusion of federal dollars that we have gotten from the federal government, could be put to use in ways that can absolutely transform education in the state.
It's heartening that those resources are there. It's just a matter of political will. So I guess as we come to the end of our time with Tamika Walker Kelly, president of the North Carolina Association of Educators, I guess I would ask what y'all are trying to do to change this. I assume you'll be active in the political electoral cycle that's coming up in our state here in 2022 in hopes of getting a legislature that's really responsive to these needs.
Absolutely. Our organization, who are made up of your child's favorite educator, your child's school bus driver, their cafeteria worker, we definitely will be active in our communities in the next election cycle. We are currently right now engaging our communities, our stakeholders of all kinds around the Our Kids Can't Wait campaign, which is to use the federal money that we've been talking about before, because we are in a unique position. North Carolina has about $5 billion in federal funds, and we can use it for student support needs and staffing issues. And so we are moving that campaign now. But when I walk into a school, when I visit with educators, even when I send a message to my child's teacher, I'm reminded about how much more our state could be doing to support our students, our educators, and our parents in ways that will lead to positive outcomes for us all. And so that is the work that we do here as NCAE. That's the work that I do as president, and that's the work we will continue to do until our students get the schools that they deserve.
Tamika Walker Kelly is the president of the North Carolina Association of Educators. We are incredibly lucky to have her as one of the important education leaders in our state. She's doing really difficult work, but absolutely vital work, and we just thank you. Please keep your spirits up. Please keep fighting the good fight. And when we talk next, we'll talk about some successes, hopefully, that you've had in the interim period.
Absolutely. We'll keep fighting to win.
Coming up next, more on the state of our public schools with a journalist who delved into the status and future of a lawsuit that figures to be pivotal. Stay with us.